We're in 2 Peter, chapter 2, and Peter is in the midst of describing false teachers in our passage that we'll look at today. Peter has a name for these false teachers. He calls them brute beast, made to be caught and destroyed. Not very kind words by Peter, but Peter is, he's now that apostle. He was that disciple who suffered greatly from his fleshly outburst, but Peter is now that seasoned apostle, and he writes two letters to us, the church. Let's pick it up in 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 12, and we'll read through 17. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practice and are accused children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. Peter, he tells us, these false teachers, they're going to have a judgment that is coming. They're like brute beast who say and pretend to love Christ, but the things they teach is really a complete denial of Christ. And Peter, he continues, because they function, these teachers function in the flesh, and they are deserving destruction. That's kind of harsh, a little bit difficult for us to contemplate, especially in today's world where we live in a world of tolerance and a life that wants to live and let live and just get along with everyone. There are gifted teachers on TV, but many of them present what we call partial truths. Some of them will be entertaining and they'll tell you a cute little joke at the beginning of their sermon. And they're entertaining. Or they speak about being all that you can be, but they fail to say men is sinful and he's in need of a savior. They miss the main picture. And Peter tells us that these false teachers carouse. Now, there's a word we don't use in today's vernacular too often. But to carouse is to engage in drunken revelry. That's a strong indictment by Peter against these false teachers. What would we call them today? What would we say about these false teachers that carouse? We might call them party animals. Many in today's society live for the weekends. When I was younger in Southern California as a young man, I bought myself a 4x4, a Jeep Bronco, and I joined a Jeep club. And once a month, we would go out into the deserts of Southern California, and we would have our trail courses laid out, and we would have competition among ourselves. And in these competitions, we would manage to destroy our 4x4s. And this got to be very expensive. But on the trips in and out of Los Angeles, the freeways would be crowded with RVs and others anxious to get out of town and party. Partying on the way to partying. And this was a type of carousing. Living to drink and party, whether it be day or night, whether on the road or off the road. And we lived a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is prevalent in many areas of our country today, each and every weekend. There is a saying among these weekend partiers, he who has the most toys wins. And these carousing people move from one drunken time of partying to the next with no soberness, no thoughts of what comes after this life. Eternity never enters their mind. And as Peter describes, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam. Now, Balaam's an interesting character in the Old Testament, and they've trained their thoughts and their hearts in covetous behavior like Balaam. And Balaam was a man who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam was a diviner, a soothsayer, yet with some knowledge of the true and living God. And he had become quite famous in the book of Numbers, and we'll look at his story a little bit. Balak, the king of the Moabites, wants to hire Balaam to curse the Israelites. The Israelites are growing numerous, and they are a threat to the Moabites. And Balak sends messengers to Balaam, and he sends with money in their hand, and he wants Balaam to curse these Israelites. But Balaam, he knows enough about God, and he's a little bit fearful, and he wants to be cautious. And so Balaam declares to these messengers that come, stay here overnight, and I will inquire of God what I can do. God answers Balaam with, do not curse Israel. And then he sends the messengers back to Balak. But Balak, he's not content with this. He sends more higher princes to go to Balaam with more money. And Balaam, he says, okay, I'll go with you and see where you're headed. But now on his way going with these princes from Balak, we find that God is angry with Balaam. And as Balaam travels, we have a confrontation between Balaam and the angel of the Lord. Now, many believe the angel of the Lord is simply another title for Jesus. This Balaam is riding a donkey that is possessed by the Lord. We've heard of demon possession. Here's a donkey that's possessed by the Lord. So let's pick up the story. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 22, and we'll read a little bit of this journey that Balaam is on. Numbers 22, and we'll start in verse 22. Then God's anger was aroused because Balaam went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And as he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him, Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on one side and a wall on the other side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" He said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me." The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." And so Balaam went with the princes of Balak. This is a very entertaining little episode here, and it's worthy of our examination. Balaam is so angry, he argues with his donkey. The donkey speaks to Balaam, "Why have you struck me these three times?" Balaam blurts out, "If I had a sword, I would have killed you." Now, we're told that Balaam is traveling with two servants, two witnesses. What do they see and what do they think of this whole episode? You got two. Do they see the angel? Do they hear the voices coming out of the donkey? But the donkey defends his behavior. "Have I ever done this kind of thing to you before?" "Well, no." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he sees the angel of the Lord standing in his way. And Balaam falls on his face, and the angel speaks to him, "Why have you struck your donkey three times?" "Balaam, your way is perverse before me. And if not for your donkey, Balaam, I would have killed you and let the donkey live." It's interesting for us to see here that Balaam loved the wages, the rewards of unrighteous behavior. He didn't send these princes away. He wanted to find a way that he could collect the money and not be so offensive to God that God would kill him. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. And God uses a dumb donkey to rebuke the madness of the prophet. It fascinates me that how Balaam's anger is so aroused that it causes him to lose all logic. He has no sense of right and wrong. He's arguing with a donkey. Not only that, he's losing the argument. Have you ever had an animal speak to you? Lori and I, we had a black lab on our farm. His name was Moses. And God used Moses to teach me lessons of obedience. Moses, our dog, apart from wandering the neighborhood, was a good old dog. You know, black labs, they're mellow, good around children, so forth. And to try to keep Moses home, I would chain him up, only to release him and he would go wandering the neighborhood. He made the rounds with all the neighbors, and my neighbors, they would feed him. Now, don't feed somebody else's dog. That makes them want to leave. But Moses would leave, and I would go out and call him and stand in the front yard to see which direction he would come home from, see where he had been. But my neighbors, with their lure of feeding him, caused Moses to wander. And he made the rounds all the time. But the Lord used Moses, my dog, to show me how often I wandered from him. Moses only had one bad habit: wandering. He would never be home when you wanted him to be home. And until the day that Moses died, he wandered. But Moses never spoke to me like Balaam's donkey did. And I would get angry with Moses at times, but not to the point where I would listen to him. But back to the verses of 2 Peter. False teachers are like wells without water or clouds carried by the wind, but no rain. Have you ever been, well, maybe you haven't, but we have a few cows and we have a little farm. And when it gets real dry, you begin to watch the weather to see that you need rain, if the creeks are going to rise where the cows can drink water. And nothing is more disappointing than to have clouds come over that drop no rain on you. But gloom and darkness is reserved for false teachers who are like Balaam, clouds with no rain. And Balaam, he loved the wages of unrighteousness because he coveted. Balaam, he will go on to tell Balak how to cause the children of Israel to stumble. You know, if you get your young men and women to intermarry with their young men and women, this will pollute the society of the Israelites, and they will fall and stumble. And so Balaam, he finds a way to try to receive the wages. But God has a word for those who take pleasure in carousing. I find that word interesting, carousing. And in their own deception and deceiving other young believers, and they do it with great swelling words. But let's read the remaining verses of chapter 2 of 2 Peter 2, 18 through 22. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in the air. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome the latter, and the end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. These false teachers promise enlightened liberties, while they themselves are slaves of corruption. Peter says, by whom or what a person is overcome by, that is the same thing that brings that person into bondage. Therefore, we have all types of intervention programs. There is a popular counseling outfit here in town, and they counseled a woman that I know, a wife that was seeking counsel. They counseled her to leave her husband. And if she wouldn't leave her husband, they would no longer counsel her. Can you imagine that kind of counseling? And as many sins that entangle and cause us to be addicted to them, there is a relief program of man somewhere that pinpoints that type of behavior and tries to help. While living in California and attending a Calvary Chapel there in Modesto, I knew a young man. He wasn't so young, but he struggled with drug addiction. And one Sunday he proclaimed to me, he said, Don, drugs are not on top of me. I am on top of drugs. And that was his way of saying, I can handle drugs as a recreation thing. Shortly after he made that statement to me, he died from an overdose. Sin is not out to give you a bad day. It's out to bring you as a captive to its behavior. Sin holds its victim in bondage. And we need to realize this. And Peter does his best to warn us about it. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us. We all have an area of weakness, and it's good to know your weakness so you can pray about it, you can flee from it. Sin is not passive. It is out to take us captive. And some people that have in the past known the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then they turn and backslide back into sin, the beginning is not as bad as the afterwards. Their after turning back into sin is a worse state than they were in the beginning. So what are we to do? Peter's trying to warn us. His letter is a letter of warning. And he says, embrace your salvation. When have you really considered what a blessing it is to know the truth and to be saved? We should never grow tired of that thought or that attitude. I am grateful. I can say to you openly, I am glad I'm saved. Now, does that sound old-fashioned? Perhaps. But I'm glad I'm saved. Therefore, embrace your salvation. Cultivate your relationship with the living God. The truth of God is a great treasure. One of the greatest treasures we can have in this life. Perhaps you're here. You've struggled with sin, and you feel like sin's winning. We have men and women, excuse me, they'll be in the prayer area, and they'll be happy to pray with you. Don't stay captive to sin. Jesus died to give us freedom from sin. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of the fact that we're forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, I thank you that you did this great turnaround in Peter's life. You took him from a disciple who was bumbling and stumbling and voicing his own opinions so many times into this loving, kind apostle. And he writes letters. And he wants to warn us of the dangers of false teachers. So, Lord, let us examine the things that come before us. Let us examine them by your word. Does this new teaching, does this align with your word? Or is it just that, an enticing false heresy? Lord, keep us safe in the knowledge and grace of yourself. Lord, we would pray that we not fall victim to sin, not fall victim to covetousness, and to learn to separate and divide between those who teach truth and those who just teach heresy, Lord. We need to be wise before you. So help us. Help us to learn this. Help us to be in your word, separating truth from fiction. So help us, Lord. We will give you the thanks and the glory for this. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.